Chapter 12. Raging Fox Incoming. During the night, while they were asleep, Katami and Misaki attempted to ignore the loud knocking on the front door to their shelter. This was clearly something they did not prepare for at all, likely as a means to just get set up and eventually build upon the dinky little setup they had. However, the banging on the door was relentless, nonstop, and clearly aggressive. Katami, half had enough, got up, walked to the door, and waited for more knocking. Another set of knocks were pounded on the door, and as the handle was turned, Katami kicked the door with full force. The door flew and hit one of the people who were there. It was an entire unit of the Sons of Mokshila, who were here about 10 minutes before they decided to knock at a specific time. Meanwhile, Katami panted heavily, thanks to his extremely cranky mood. Most fox folk did not like being woken up, as this irritated them to hell or high water. Katami was worse in this regard, as he clearly needed his rest. His muscles became more defined as his anger rose, blood veins popping out as if he were ready to strike. With a loud voice booming over the entire prairie they lived in, he yelled at the SOM people, "Thou shalt not have anything in mine path. For one day ye take what ye thou desireth is the day thou shalt die the death." One look at the Todd dressed in black robes, and it was indeed him. The Black Bishop of Westneth, Budiak Monotaritio. Most of the SOM thugs started to scramble in all different directions, though Budak, who was the one that was knocking at the door, was unharmed. He just calmly told Katami, "I need you to come with us."
"That shall not happen, ye worker of lawlessness."
Katami was now maddened to the level of insanity. His voice, while it did not crack, was something to behold. When one angered a half-fox like Katami, enough of it would certainly activate Methuselah's rage. Of which this could have been happening. As the Black Bishop reached out to grab a hold of his clothing, Katami palmed his chin to get him away from Katami. Now Katami had been angered. He transformed into a full-blooded fox being, and in the fox language, his boomed and declared,
"Thou hast decided to die the death, rather than following the Creator as his children. Since ye have no desire to repent for thine actions, thy judgment is sealed."
When Buddha heard this, he started to wind up a punch. However, Katami saw this and grabbed the hand the Black Bishop was using for the punch, and immediately swooped behind him to perform a hammerlock. Buddha screamed in pain as Katami locked it in. He then raised up the Black Bishop's arm, placed his arm around it from underneath, and performed a suplex on the false prophet to the anti-messiah beast White Bishop of Westneth. Speaking of, a voice boomed from the other side of the prairie.
"Halt!"
It was the anti-messiah beast White Bishop of Westneth, the Didakayan mystery religion's god, Artoriad the 11th, who was the one requiring everyone in the fox folk's religion to worship him. This was Neo-Altarianism, of which was incompatible with Methuselah's teachings. This was the man currently ruling the entirety of the world through Westneth, whom everyone considered to be the prophet of all prophets, which Katami knew was a bogus lie meant to coerce people to take the mark of destruction. As Artoriad rushed towards Katami, Katami wrapped his bicep around the Black Bishop's neck, ready to choke him if necessary. Katami was setting up a hostage situation that Artoriad was unable to escape. As Artoriad arrived at the scene, Katami secured Bura, just in case things went south. Panting heavily, Artoriad asked Katami,
"Are thou the half-fox Todd who rejected our generosity?"
"Generosity?" Katami tightened his bicep grip on the Black Bishop.
"You mean coercion with a smile to take the mark of destruction? The scheme to murder everyone with divination using gematria, astrology, tarot, and other forms thereof? This is what ye call generosity?"
"Silence, ye fool!"
Artoriad slapped Katami across his face as he yelled this out. This caused Katami to just break Bura's neck, killing him instantly. He walked toward the anti-messiah himself and grabbed his neck. As he did, he felt something sharp on his stomach. Looking down, it was a knife that was driven into his intestine, which Katami just slid out. He threw the knife elsewhere, specifically a tree before the anti-messiah grabbed his neck from behind. Katami slinked out and lunged his bicep forward, sending the anti-messiah on his back. This was a devastating clothesline Katami had delivered. Meanwhile, the anti-messiah went back onto his feet and grabbed Katami's waist. With a grunt of effort, Katami was lifted off the ground, and his neck hit the ground in a wayblad suplex, nasty enough to almost paralyze him. Katami took a moment to get up, but he stood up, a little wobbly at worst. Katami locked up with the anti-messiah and attempted to scoop him up for a scoop slam. The anti-messiah swung out of it and planted the top of Katami's head onto the ground in a DDT. This did not seriously hurt Katami either, as he was trained for this type of thing to begin with. Katami kicked up once again and attempted the false clothesline. The anti-messiah witnessed Katami's arm swing up as it was swinging forward, only to see Katami kick his neck and send him tumbling towards the ground. After this was done, Katami picked up the anti-messiah and placed him onto his shoulders. A fireman's carry was performed with the anti-messiah face-planting onto the ground. As the anti-messiah attempted to stand back up, Katami was right on top of him. Katami flipped him onto his back and punched him 10 times. The 10th punch was brutality to the highest degree, enough to knock out someone who is weak. This was a set of punches right to either side of the anti-messiah's jaw, making it look like he was bloodied as if he were in a Muay Thai fight. As he got off of the anti-messiah to take a quick breather, the anti-messiah came back up and rushed at Katami again. This time, the anti-messiah had a clothesline of his own, though as it hit, Katami stood still. Otoriad was quite displeased with it, so he went again for a second, more powerful clothesline. It hit, but Katami still stood immovable. A third clothesline attempt connected, but Katami still did not budge regardless. This ticked off the anti-messiah, causing him to walk behind Katami. However, Katami was able to turn around and slink behind the anti-messiah, grazing his robes with his hand. Katami felt something that would certainly be deadly under there. Now Katami's mission was to reveal what it was and potentially kill off the anti-messiah with his own weapon. However, in order to do that, Katami would have to knock the anti-messiah unconscious to begin with, which was no easy task, as Katami was able to establish for himself. In light of that, Katami now had to think strategically, considering his stamina levels. This was easy for Katami to do, as he trained his stamina for a long time, and he was quite well built for a half-fox Todd of 5 and 20 years of age. The anti-messiah, knowing that Katami was an immovable force, went ahead and swung around Katami in an attempt to use his legs to flip Katami forward. This did not work, as all the anti-messiah did was fall flat onto his face. Katami just casually picked him up, and his back was slammed in a frightening powerbomb. Now the anti-messiah was hurt, but not enough to need some witchcraft to help him heal his bones. Katami straddled him again, flipped him onto his stomach, and placed his hands on the anti-messiah's chin and pulled hard. This camel clutch was locked in once Katami figured it out. Artoriad flailed about, attempting to pry Katami off of him. He eventually overpowered Katami and swept him onto his back. Katami, meanwhile, kicked Artoriad's face when he was about to be straddled himself. Artoriad stumbled back a bit while Katami got up, and then he turned around and kicked his chin. This was a powerful kick, enough to knock the anti-messiah onto his back. Katami gave him a moment to get up, just to ensure he was not fooling him, which was common for Katami to observe. However, the anti-messiah got up like nothing happened. Now he was steaming mad, and he murmured an incantation to himself. Katami knew what it was, and to distract him, Katami just choked him and performed a DDT of his own while holding the anti-messiah's neck. Not only was Katami's elbow the pivot point, but since the anti-messiah's neck was hurting from it, Katami literally had no choice but to drive him onto the top of his head. That was where the DDT part came into play. Now, Katami needed to get the anti-messiah into a state of unconsciousness so he would know exactly what the anti-messiah had on his person. it looked like something nasty would happen to him if he did not do so. In order to do this, Katami set up a pile driver by flipping the Anti-Messiah upside down. As Katami was about to bring the Anti-Messiah back a bit, he attempted to swing out of Katami's grasp. This would not happen, as Katami slammed the Anti-Messiah down with a devastating pile driver that only the likes of any one Fox Todd with experience in freestyle wrestling would be able to do. After checking his pulse, the Anti-Messiah was unconscious. Now was the chance for Katami to grab whatever he felt that was inside the Anti-Messiah's robes. After reaching in and finding it, Katami brought it out. He noticed what this was. The Anti-Messiah was attempting to sacrifice him for the purposes of showing everyone that it was required to only follow the prophet of all prophets. This was absolutely incompatible with Methuselah's teachings, and would only go to show the lengths these people went in order to take Katami out completely. Katami's number was drawn, and now it was allegedly time for Katami to be sacrificed on the altar back in Wesneth. After getting one look at his face, Katami had suspicion arise immediately. This was a body double of the Anti-Messiah Beast White Bishop of Wesneth, of whom was different than what the real Anti-Messiah looked like. Earlier during the fight, Katami had a sneaking feeling in his gut he was not facing the real Anti-Messiah, and that he was only facing a clone, of which the Anti-Messiah and False Prophet knew how to do effectively well. Katami then thrust the knife through the fake Artoriad's throat, rupturing the jugular veins, and throwing the fake Anti-Messiah into the blood trench. Katami panted heavily as he watched the blood drain out of the fake Anti-Messiah. He took the knife out of the fake Anti-Messiah's throat and checked the face of the Black Bishop. It turned out that the Black Bishop was also a clone of the real one. Katami just heaved his lifeless body onto his shoulders and brought it to the blood trench. After setting the fake False Prophet down, Katami slit his throat, rupturing his jugular vein, and just pushing him down into the trench. Katami watched as the blood fully drained from the body double of the False Prophet. Now he knew that both the Anti-Messiah and False Prophet caught wind of this entire situation and have ordered Katami's death. By any means necessary, they were going to do it, no matter what it took. They wanted him dead or alive, and nothing was changing in the slightest. He just went inside his home and went to sleep until the sun rose up. As Katami and Misaki woke up when the sun rose, Katami was not feeling all that well. Misaki saw this, bent down towards his level, and asked him, "What is wrong?" He turned to Misaki and regaled to her with a heavy sleep in his voice.
"That knocking we heard earlier?"
She nodded.
"That was a body double of the False Prophet. A double of the Anti-Messiah had also come."
Katami sighed before continuing.
"They were here to do one thing. To sacrifice me to their god, Lucion, and make everyone take the mark of destruction, of which will not be happening at all."
"Was that why I heard screams of agony earlier?" Misaki was now curious as to what Katami had done while she slept through all of it.
"Yea, the screams of agony were because I had taken down both the fake Anti-Messiah and False Prophet."
Katami sat up before continuing.
"This is because the Anti-Messiah and False Prophet, whom hail from Umoradorf, had caught wind of my movement and wanted my body dead or alive."
"That was why they followed us discreetly for so long."
Misaki sighed before hanging her head down. She continued,
"There's no way we can escape them, is there?"
"Not that I know of as of right now."
Katami just got out of bed and got ready for his day like normal. As Katami was doing so, Misaki prepared their daily tea, as she had always done for a while now. Katami, meanwhile, was apparently taking some time. This was longer than normal, and could have been likely that something was about to go down. As Katami went to the kitchen, Misaki was taken aback by what Katami chose to wear. Katami had some armor over his yukata, a specialized yukata at that, which was designed to fit some specialized armor. This armor was made of tungsten and protected all of the vital areas on his body, front, back, and sides. Everything
was made to ensure it fit him snugly, but also comfortably as he battled. Misagi, shocked at what Katami was in, asked him, "Is this because..."
"Worse,"
Katami interrupted.
"Since the anti-messiah and false prophet know that I am still alive and think I had falsified my death, they are likely on their way here. There is nothing I can do in this regard, as I have to be prepared to potentially sacrifice everything I have in order to finally kill off the anti-messiah and false prophet once and for all."
Katami sighed and hung his head down before continuing.
"Once this is done, that means I shall take the position as the White Bishop of Westneth and destroy the Didakaian mystery religion."
Katami looked into Misaki's eyes before then saying,
"Once and for all, in the authority of the Creator, Methuselah, and the Spirit, it shall be done and cannot be avoided."
Misagi, still shocked as could be, asked Katami, "Is this part of the Great Horror, or is this how it ends?"
"This is how the Great Horror ends. There is a prophecy that Methuselah would use a flawed Todd, and said Todd was to be chosen by Methuselah himself."
He looked at Misagi and inquired of her,
"Do you remember when Methuselah visited not too far back?"
"I do remember."
Misagi nodded before asking,
"Did that have anything to do with the prophecy, though?"
"Yea, it did."
Katami stood up, found his setup art text, and flipped to the section where the criteria would be found. It read, "For I shalt speak to the prophet who shalt be shunned, spit upon, harassed, or otherwise scorned by the people, including the sun, moon, and stars, conspiring against him. He shall be forced into shunned silence for mine sake, and I shall give to him the power that shall be vested from me. Only he can cause an end to the great horror that is come upon thee this day, in this generation."
"Was that not written some time back?"
Misagi was confused. "Katami, ending the great horror and fitting all the criteria? How was that possible? What did Katami do to even fulfill every single criterion in order to become the shunned silent prophet Methuselah had talked about?"
"This was a recent book that was written. It is still being written to this day, though I do not have the book I shalt write."
Katami sighed before continuing.
"That is, until Methuselah had called me to do it."
He looked up at Misagi.
"He would have notified me anyway if I were required to write everything I had ever done into a book for these scriptures. They would certainly have been enough to be canon. Therefore, events that had happened, we need to remember."
He paused a moment, gathering his thoughts before continuing.
"For we study history to know what shall happen in the future, because a despot, person of low intelligence, or tyrant shall do exactly what happened in the past."
"Pattern recognition."
Misagi stood there, frozen and speechless.
"One of the first things foxfolk are always taught as little children."
"Exactly that."
Katami stood up and hugged Misagi to bring her back to reality.
"Indeed, pattern recognition had been lost for years. It is the best form of common sense we have unto this very day. It was never a myth, as the SOM had us believe."
Things were getting heated here. Knowing that Katami might have had to literally put his life on the line in order that he be able to essentially be the fox he was chosen to be, Misagi finally witnessed history. She saw history right in front of her, and it was about to be made, whether Artoriad would like it or not. This was exactly how they were going to bring history forward and use this to destroy the Didakaian mystery religion, Neo-Altiarianism, which was designed to be the beast system, as warned about in the apocalyptic texts.
Nothing was stopping Katsumi from doing this. And do this he would.